seat. We will begin our second assembly. I know that we have a lot of folks in town for homecoming out at Oklahoma Christian this weekend. We are glad that you're here. We appreciate the fact that you've come to celebrate with us on the Lord's Day. We're grateful for all of you who are visiting with us, and we'd like to encourage all of you, members and visitors alike, to fill out that yellow card that you'll find on the pew next to you. There's a lot of information there that would be helpful to us, and if you would put that on there, we'd appreciate it. Want to make any prayer requests or comments? We read every one of those cards and be glad to include your prayer request in our prayers and in the days ahead. We have a special celebration tonight right here in this auditorium at 5 o'clock. We would like to encourage everybody to come back at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a connection celebration. Just kind of celebrate all that God is doing in our lives through our connection groups. And we're going to have a great time of celebration and praise together and awesome sharing of what God is doing in lives and through connection groups. I hope that you'll be here at 5 o'clock today. That'd be a great, great time together. Remember that next Lord's Day is Ministry Fair. If you've never been to a Ministry Fair at Quail Springs, you're in for a great treat. In our gymnasium area, there's going to be some 40-plus ministries that will be on display next Lord's Day to show you all kinds of things that are going on here that you may not be aware of and some opportunities for you to serve. And that'll be something worth seeing. Our adult Bible classes will not meet next week so that you might go and take in Ministry Fair. Now, if you're a college student, college class will meet next Lord's Day. It's the only adult class that will be meeting next Lord's Day, and the rest of them will all be in Ministry Fair. Also, an announcement we failed to get in the announcement sheet. There's a wedding shower for Angie Roper next Saturday at 1 o'clock in the home of Penny Eubank. If you don't know Penny's address, it's in the church directory. Otherwise, you know, check with Penny right after the service, and she can give you that information. Also, I need to warn people in Northwest Oklahoma City, Edmond area, we have another 16-year-old on the loose as of today. Tomorrow morning, she'll be late for school because she'll be taking driver's tests and all that sort of thing, I know. Suzanne Hutcherson, would you stand that we might recognize you? 16 today. One other announcement before we have our prayer time together. Later in our service, we're going to have a second offering. It's going to be a special offering for the people of Honduras. We'll be talking a little bit more of that later, but as you know, we have a great deal of support in Honduras. Many of our people have been to Honduras, and the devastation that has been wrought on that country because of the hurricane has brought an acute need to our awareness, and our elders would like for us to do something about that need today. And so I just want you to know that after we have our regular offering, I'll get back up and share a little bit about that, and we will be taking up a special offering at that time. I hope that you're able to pick up a green announcement sheet when you came in today. It has on there all kinds of good news about new babies being born. I think that there have been 4 new babies born in the last 2 weeks to mamas in this congregation and dads, and we celebrate that. Also on that green sheet, we need to make one correction. James Fry, who is Vonna Lovett's stepfather, got to go home from the hospital on Friday, and we are really grateful for that. He is home recuperating from his heart surgery, and for that we give thanks. But as always, when we assemble together, we want to bow together and lift these up in prayer that have special need in their lives. Let's bow together for a time of silent prayer, and then I'll close our prayer time together. Shall we pray? Oh God, you are so great and so awesome and so majestic and so holy. And yet you are a God who loves even us. Father, we thank you that your presence is with us today and that your Spirit fills this room. And we're thankful that we have opportunity to worship and adore you together. And we pray that you might bless us as we do that today. Father, we know that there are members of our family and family members of our family that are suffering and hurting and struggling with various diseases and illnesses and recuperation from surgeries. Father God, we know that you know their needs infinitely better than we, and you're able to meet those needs infinitely better than we. We pray that you'll be at work for healing and blessing and comfort. Father, we celebrate the gift of new life, and we pray your blessings on these new babies that have been born for good health and strength, and that we might rejoice with their families. Father, thank you that you have loved us unconditionally. And we pray that out of that love, we might love each other. And we pray that all that is done today will be for your glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to begin our assembly times having a chance to greet and encourage each other. I hope that you will reach out to someone around you, someone maybe who's a stranger, someone you haven't met before, and share the warmth and the love that you would want them to receive. Let's stand together and greet one another, shall we?
On the back side of your Sunday sheet this morning is the song we'll begin with. On the back side of your Sunday sheet is the song we'll begin with this morning. Please be standing. In the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew, Matthew recounts for us the story of what happened on a Sunday morning when Mary Magdalene and some of the other women went to the tomb after Jesus had been buried there. And of course, they went to the tomb and he wasn't there. And there appeared before them an angel who was bright light and scared the soldiers so much that they fell down like they were dead. And the ladies were afraid, and the angels turned as angels always do. And they say, "Oh, don't be afraid." He said, "I know you're looking for Jesus, but he's not here. He's been risen just like he said he would be." He said, "Go on and you'll find him." And so they go across the garden, and sure enough, they run into Jesus right there in the garden and fall down at his feet and worship him. And then he says, "You go get up and go tell my disciples that they're to go on and they'll be able to see me." And I just think this morning as we began, let's put ourselves in the place of those. And if Jesus could just physically walk in here amongst us and we could just take turns coming up and just bowing at his feet and kissing his feet. Let's just kiss his feet and worship him this morning as we sing, and knowing that someday we will see him.
Come and behold him. Come see his glory. Come with an honest heart to see all he is. We will discover. Behold him and wait now before him. majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, we praise your holy name.
We praise your name.
Oh Lord, we magnify your holy name.
We magnify your name.
Prince of Peace,
mighty God,
O Lord God Almighty. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, we praise your holy name.
We praise your name.
O Lord, we magnify your holy name.
We magnify your name.
Prince of Peace,
mighty God,
O Lord God Almighty.
He's alive, he's alive. Hallelujah,
Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega.
The first and last is he.
The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God is risen. He's alive. He's alive. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He's alive. He's alive. He's the Alpha and Omega.
The first and last is he.
The curse of sin is broken, and we have perfect liberty. The Lamb of God is risen. He's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive.
This is my story.
This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let there be glory and honor and praises. Glory and honor to Jesus. Glory and
to
honor to Jesus because he alone is worthy. He alone is worthy of our worship and our praise. And we thank him specifically now because of the sacrifice that he gave for us. And as we pray together in song, we bless the memory that we do each week as we partake of the bread and the cup.
Oh, Lord, our God, we come to you now as our minds are turned to Christ our King. May the words that he spoke stay close to our hearts and his body be a source of strength. May the bread and the wine receive your blessing, and our hearts feel the pain he bore. Let your Spirit indwell us now as we take, as disciples of Christ we
Many of us in this church family have had the privilege of traveling to Honduras, of meeting our brethren there, having the privilege of sharing communion with them and sharing life with them for a while. Many of our teenagers have been down there, as our teenagers have gone a couple of times. And others of us that have traveled there return to say it is a life-changing experience. The reason it is life-changing is because you encounter there people who have so little of this world's goods and yet who have so much joy of Christ living in them. It is such an incredible experience to see people who have so little of what we value in America to be important and yet have such enormous joy. Well, these who have so little have even less now because of the Hurricane Mitch that went through there a few days ago. If you've been watching the media accounts of what has happened in Honduras, you know that the devastation is unbelievable. We received several emails from Honduras, from Amanda Madrid, and from Doris. And the devastation among our brethren is also enormous. They are unable to get supplies that they need because all the roads and bridges have been washed out. The only way to get supplies into Catacamas, where Amanda is by helicopter. And they have wired us that they are in acute need of supplies and medical medicines to help spur some of the epidemics that are breaking out as a result of all the devastation. And so our elders said, I know that we don't have a lot of notice, but we want to help our brethren in Honduras. And so this morning they have asked that we share a special offering together for the brethren in Honduras. Now, if you came today unprepared to do that, that's understandable. You'll be able to get yours in the next several days if you want to. You can mail it in the church office or bring it when you come Wednesday night or whatever. Come bring it tonight whenever we gather for our special assembly at 5 o'clock today to celebrate Connection Life. But we believe that God has laid on our hearts we need to help our brethren this morning. And so today we count it such a great privilege to pass the collection plates again and say by this offering that we join together with our brethren in Honduras and want to help alleviate some of the needs that they have. Yes. Oh, we haven't passed it the first time. Thank you, Gary. After our first offering, we're going to have a second offering. I just wanted you to be aware of that so that after the first offering is passed, we'll get up and I'll pray for the second offering. Thank you. I can't have a nice day.
The things that you have given us, our cup does truly overflow. And Father, as you have given us with an open hand, we ask that we might give now with an open heart, one full of gratitude. In your Son's name, amen.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord, a common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth of God's Word. A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the Lord. A common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, common joy in the truth of God's Word. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are
Father God, when natural disasters strike, we are reminded how frail we are and how dependent we are on you. We are grateful that you have spared us of many of the natural disasters that we see happening in our world. And we give you thanks for the opportunity to share this morning an offering that will help alleviate some of the needs and some of the troubles in our brethren in Honduras. Father, we pray that you'll use this for your glory, and we pray it in Jesus' name.
Terry Stokes, who is the chair of our missions committee, shared with me earlier this morning that Dr. Amanda Madrid, and those of you who are visiting may not know this, but she's been here with us on several occasions, was in a car accident earlier this year, suffered a spinal break, had one of those halos screwed into her head, sitting on her shoulders so that she could only do like this. And because of the need, this the greater need for these people now, for her services and her life, she coached, she said, another doctor, and maybe even did it herself, took that halo off so that she could be more mobile to help these people. That's the kind of lady that she is. These funds will go to her, put in her account so that she can use them as she sees fit for those people there. And as we offer this prayer of song together, now let's be conscious of the offering that she's giving and the offering that we are called to give to the Lord.
All that I am, all that I have, I lay them down before you. Sacrifice.
ushers are going to be passing out a folder to you that looks sort of like this. We don't have enough for every single person to have one, but we have enough, we think, for all the family units to have one, for every family unit or single to have one. We would like for you to take one of these for just a moment as we refer to it today and go back and revisit the purpose-driven church. On the inside, if you would open it to the inside once you get it, you're going to see how far along we are in the implementation of the purpose-driven church. The colored areas or shaded areas indicate how much have been implemented so far, and the unshaded areas, those areas that we have yet to do over the course of the next several months. Thanks to John Pickens, who helped put this on a timeline, and to Barry Thomas, who put it in graph form so that we could all see it and read it. This tells you how much we've accomplished in the last year. And praise be to God for all that has happened over the course of the last year. In just a moment, we're going to turn over and look at the front of it as we revisit the purpose-driven church so that you'd have this in your possession. I've got to tell you that Scott Horton, who works for the Daily Oklahoman, did the graphics on this thing, and it is beautiful in color. We went down to just kind of see how much it would be to put it in full color like Scott did it for us, and it was only $3 a copy to have that done, and so we thought black and white would be sufficient this morning. But it sure is pretty in color. But we'd like for you to take this with you and use it as reference to all of the things that have been implemented and be praying about the things yet to be implemented. Now, if you have your Bibles, we open, please, to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and let's begin reading in Ephesians 4 at verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11, the Apostle Paul writing more than likely a circulatory letter to the churches in the area of Ephesus, says this: "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." Dropping down to verse 15, Paul says, "Now instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is, Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Well, it happened again last Sunday afternoon. I boarded an airplane, and before the door was closed and they pushed us back from the gate, one of the flight attendants or the ground crew came on the public address system and said, "This plane is leaving for Dallas. If you aren't going to Dallas, you need to get off now." I'd been on a couple of airplanes when people realized they were on the wrong one. Sort of like I figured out a minute ago, as Gary reminded, I was on the wrong part of the program. And you sometimes wake up and, you know, you're someplace that you didn't really intend to be. And I've been in airplanes where a couple of people said, "Oh, no." And so they, you know, went out. I am glad that they announce where those things are going before they push back from the gate. Aren't you? So you can make sure you want to go to the destination that you intended to go. Well, just over a year ago, the leadership of this congregation announced, "Here is where we're going. We're going to become a purpose-driven church, that we might organize, minister, staff around the five purposes that God has revealed in His Word that the church is to accomplish by the Spirit of God." And so those five purposes have been put on that sheet in front of you in the form of a baseball diamond. We borrowed that idea from Rick Warren, who wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Church, but we can't take a model that works in Southern California and replace it here and expect it to work. So we took parts of that model from what they're using in Southern California and tweaked it and made it our own, that we might be a purpose-driven church here. And we put it on the baseball diamond, as Rick Warren has done. Now, I got to tell you, Scott's baseball diamond looks way better than Rick Warren's. If Rick Warren ever saw that baseball diamond that you got in front of you, he would be green with envy. But we put it on a baseball diamond so that you might remember it. You can remember the baseball diamond. And right behind me, though it doesn't show up well because of the lighting, is the baseball diamond and the five purposes that we're going to revisit this morning. The first base is called membership. Membership. You remember from the Word of God that it is God's will is not that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. It is God's desire that everyone come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they might hear the gospel message, the good news of Jesus, and respond by grace through faith to the good news of Jesus and become a member of the family of God. Now, in our fellowship, we have emphasized that from the get-go, of people becoming members of the family of God. And we have come to understand that Christianity is more than believing. It is also belonging. And we come to understand that God, when He created us, made us in such a way that we want to belong. We want to have relationship with one another as we go through this life to encourage and exalt and praise God. We need one another's help and encouragement. Vance Packard has called America a nation of strangers. And in the past, we've talked about all the sociological reasons for that. You know, the mobility in America, Americans move every 2.7 years. The fragmentation of the family, the urbanization of America, the way neighborhoods are constructed, technology, where people talk to phone systems and listen to voices on phone systems and don't talk to real people, or they stare at computer screens all day. And what we have is a society of people that are extremely lonely. If you were to stand out in our foyer this morning and watch the people come and go, and you were to do that week in, week out, you would be amazed at the numbers of people God brings to this place week in, week out. Every person who is new that comes to this place comes with one question on their hearts. Will these people care about me? Will these people care about me? Is this a place where I can belong and feel like people care? They're not going to remember the sermons. Now, you might think that comes as a surprise to me. It's not a surprise. I don't even remember my sermons. A guy was asking me in the early service, he said, you know, you were talking a few weeks ago about so-and-so, so-and-so. What did you say about? And I looked at him like, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. They won't remember the songs we sing. They might remember a few phrases, but they won't remember the songs they sing. But let me tell you something, folks. They will never forget how they're treated when they come in this place. They may not remember the sermon, a thing I say, they'll remember a song that they say, but they will never forget how they're treated when they come here. If they come here and experience a warmth and a welcome and an embrace of come in, you are welcome in this place and we will love you here. They will walk out of here saying, boy, they won't be talking about, oh, wasn't that a great sermon, wasn't that a great song, sir? They'll be walking out here saying, wasn't that a friendly church? We need to go back. But if they come in and experience, no one speaks to them, and no one shows them any interest, and no one reaches out to say you'd be welcome here, they will never forget how they're treated. And it doesn't matter how good the song service is or the sermon might be on occasion, they will never forget how they're treated. Folks, membership in the family of God is not just crossing over into faith and becoming a member of the body of Christ. It is also belonging in the body of Christ. And that means that all of us have responsibility in helping people belong and become members. Second base is maturity. Maturity. We've been saying that God loves us right where we are, but He loves us too much to leave us there. It is God's desire we grow up and be like Him. I had the privilege of seeing two new babies this week and a couple new babies last week. And you know when you go and you see these new ones being born, it's amazing. You listen to grandparents especially who might be in the room. That, you know, they talk about what a delight this baby is. I think she's got her mama's nose. I think, you know, she's got her daddy's chin. Well, it would be a natural thing for us to grow up favoring one or both of our biological parents. That's a natural thing to expect. Well, do you realize that God has given us a spiritual photograph and has said to us, once you're a member of the body of Christ, I want you to grow up to be like Him. And His name is Jesus. He has given us a spiritual photograph and He says to us, here is what I want you to look like over the course of time. second base, at the maturity stage, we began to do what Paul talks about in Ephesians 4, of growing up into Him who is the head. We began to understand what the disciplines are of prayer and studying the Word and fasting and meditation. It's there we begin to experience community life in a small group. Folks, in an assembly like this, we can't get beyond the superficial. You know, how you doing? How was your week? Boy, wasn't the weather good? Boy, I like your hair. Nice tie. Boy, I love that dress. We never can get down in an assembly like this to the real stuff of how are you doing? And how is your marriage? And how are you dealing with your children? And how are you struggling with sin in your life? What are some of the sins? I mean, it's in that small community group, a connection group, that we can really begin to share life and nurture each other and care for each other. That doesn't happen, for the most part, in an assembly. It happens in small groups. I jotted down as a reminder, one another is used over 50 times in the New Testament. One another passages, they're called. I jotted down just a few of them, of things we're supposed to do in this maturity stage. We're to love each other. We're to pray one for another. We're to encourage one another. Admonish one another. Greet one another. Serve one another. Teach one another. Accept one another. Honor one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Sing to one another. Submit to one another. Be devoted one to another. And on and on and on it goes. Folks, it's in a connection group. It's in a small group in a home where people can open their hearts and lives and really struggle with each other and pray for each other, admonish, encourage, confess their sin one to another, that you begin to really grow up to be like Him. Because it is God's desire that after a period of time, people might say about you, you know, you remind me of Jesus. I see His life in you. Third base is ministry. Ministry. It's at third base we begin to understand that God gave every one of us something to do. And God gave us the gift by His Spirit to do that one something He wants us to do. I was at a conference up in Chicago a couple of weeks ago, and this speaker was talking about listening to another speaker at a conference he'd been at. He said this speaker had this one thing that he went all the way through the sermon with. The speaker just kept saying this one phrase over and over again. Everything you need is in the house. And said as the message went on, the crowd got into that deal, and every time the speaker would say, everything you need, the audience would say, is in the house. And as he was telling that story, I was getting a little bit excited. I thought, boy, that'd be fine. That'd be wonderful to have an audience kind of sharing that deal with you. Everything you need, and the audience would say, is in the house. You're not going to do that, are you? I didn't think so. Let me tell you something, folks. That is an absolute truth and promise in the Word of God. Everything we need is in the house. God has already given us everything we need to accomplish, everything God wants accomplished right here in this place by the gifts of His Spirit. He has given every one of us something to do, and He's given us the gift with which we can do that thing that He has called us to do. And it's sad to see so many sitting on the sidelines wasting the gift of God. It's in ministry at third base we begin to understand and study what are our gifts and how do I use them in the family of God to build up the body. At home plate is mission. We've been saying over and over and over again, you know, the three great laws of learning are repetition, repetition, repetition. We've been saying over and over again that we do not live under permission, we live under what? Commission. That God has commissioned us. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We live under commission. We have to understand that God is going to love the world through us. The way God loves the world is through us. His love flowing through us. And that means we need to be equipped to share our faith with those who don't know Christ. We need to be a part of the mission. We need to begin to see like Jesus saw so we can feel as urgent about it as Jesus felt. We need to begin to see the one in the next cubicle and across the street and works out at the athletic club with me. We need to begin to see them as God sees them, and that's harassed and helpless without a shepherd, so that we might share with them the love of God. Sometimes that means going to places like Honduras or Australia or somewhere else around the world to share the mission that God has given. Folks, We don't live under permission, but under commission. And it's at home plate we begin to understand I'm a part of that mission. Right in the center of it all, right in the center of it all, at Pitcher's Mound, is the fifth purpose of the church, and that's magnification. Magnification. Listen, God created you and me that we might worship Him. We are God's premier praisers. He created us for the specific reason that we might give Him adoration and praise. You will never know the ultimate fulfillment and joy in life until you become a worshiper of God. Now, you might have some fun in life, but you'll never know the ultimate reward and fulfillment until you come to the place you are a worshiper of God. Worship means, and the word in the original language is proskuneo. It's a word from which we get our English word prostrate oneself. And it describes the process of me in my humanity bowing down before His deity. It means that all that I am in my humanity, in my dependencies, in my addictions, in my flaws and shortcomings and sins, I bow down in my humanity and give homage to His deity. It is all that I am giving expression to all that He is. That is worship. And folks, that means I can worship God in my closet or on the freeway in my car. It means I can worship God on a mountaintop somewhere by myself or in a corporate assembly like this. But Jesus, when He talked with a woman in Samaria, He said to her that true worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and truth. If all God has of you this morning is your body, you are not worshiping. If you came in here and plopped your tired bones down on the pew and you think, well, because I'm here, I'm worshiping, you haven't worshiped God at all. Until that part of you created in God's image, your spirit, connects with His spirit, there is no worship. We're to worship God in spirit. And in truth, listen, one of God's priorities is truth. And worship is my soul exploding at the thought of God based on the truth that God has revealed about Himself and His Word. Listen, it is the desire of the leadership of this church family that every person become a worshiper. Not just in here on Sunday morning, but that we might come to understand that every part of our lives is an offering of spiritual worship unto God. Now, what does all this mean to us? It means that the elders here are committed to being a purpose-driven church. It means that we promise that we will help people become members of the family of God by sharing the gospel with them. And you share in that mission. It means that we will provide not only the curriculum in our adult classes, in our youth classes, in our children's classes that will help them study and become more mature according to the purpose and the place that they are. It means that we will help them get in a small group and we will teach them the disciplines of what it's like to grow up in Christ Jesus. Last night I had the privilege of meeting the parents of the new quintuplets. The parents are both graduates of OC and they were out last night and I got to meet them. Marsha and I kind of walked out with them. We walked out the door, and I said to them, are y'all getting any sleep? And the mom kind of smiled, and she said, oh, yes. She said, you would be amazed what absolute exhaustion can do for your sleep habits. So I can go to sleep anywhere, standing up sometimes. And I said, well, you know, I cannot imagine. You already had one daughter, and now you've got five more children that you added into all at one time. And she said, well, we've only got three of them home. And I said, well, how in the world do you handle, you know, five additional children? She said, well, we've got people who volunteer and come in and handle every kind of aspect that you can imagine of taking care of these kids. You see, there is an intentional plan to help those children receive the nourishment and the nurture and the care that will help them grow up healthy and strong. Now, what would you think of parents that brought a brand new baby home and laid the baby down in the middle of the living room floor and said, okay, we did our part, now you grow up by yourself? Doesn't work like that, does it? And yet that's what we do to spiritual babies, isn't it? We get them into the kingdom and members of the family of God, and we say, okay, now grow up by yourself. Listen to me. Growth comes by an intentional effort and planned attack. to help people get the spiritual sustenance and nurture that they need and the care they need to grow up to look like Christ. We promise to provide that. We promise to help you understand and discover what your gifts are and how you might use them in the family of God, that He might be glorified by them. We promise to help equip you in the sharing of your faith and going, being about the mission God has called us to be on. And we promise that this will be a worshiping place, a people filled with worshipers who worship the Father in spirit and truth. Folks, God has called us to grow up. And as we've said before, just having a plan in place doesn't do it. Any more than carrying a card for your health club is going to make you more fit. You can carry a card all you want to, and it won't make you more fit. You've got to go in and work the program to get fit. And we have a plan in place, but you've got to work the plan. You've got to agree to do the study and do the prayer and be in the small group and let God begin to nurture you through the relationships of others. And after a while, and it is our prayer that every member might come to this place, that others might see your life and say, you know, you remind me of what I read and learn about Jesus. Isn't that our goal? Amen? That we might remind others of Jesus. May God bless us and flourish us as we become and continue to be a purpose-driven people at Quail Springs. Let's pray. God, our Father, we want so much to look like Jesus. And we admit this morning that so many times we don't, that we do need to grow up. And it is our prayer that you'll help us mature. We might practice the things you have given us and instructed us in, that more and more our hearts might be transformed into His likeness. And more we might take on the characteristics and the behaviors and the attitudes of heart and spirit that look like His. And we pray that earnest prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, maybe you haven't ever crossed over into the family of God. Maybe you haven't gone from darkness into light, from lostness into salvation. Today is a perfect time for you to decide that you're going to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you become a member of His family. This morning, He invites you. We await your response to Him and His call right now while we stand together and sing.
Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. Gratefully thank you.
We have some great news, and then we have some good news. The great news is that Kaylee White comes this morning to name Jesus Lord and to be baptized into Him. And we rejoice with Paul and Jan in Kaylee's decision to give her life to Jesus Christ. What an incredible joy that is. And in just a few moments, Paul will baptize Kaylee into Christ. And in that, we do indeed rejoice. That's the great news. We have some other good news, though, that involve members of our church family. First of all, I'd like to introduce you to one of our new church secretaries. She's been a member here for many years, been incredibly active here in our children's ministry and children's education program. But Lisa Howard has gone to work here at Quail Springs to be a part of our secretarial staff. Lisa, would you stand wherever you are? I want people to point right over there. She is. We are glad Lisa is with us. Also this week, I learned on Tuesday of this week that Penny Eubank is not just Penny, she is Dr. Penny Eubank. She finished all of her requirements and was bestowed the PhD, and so call her Dr. Penny from now on. Penny, congratulations. We're proud of you. And Joe and Linda Watson's daughter, Catherine, is in town this weekend. And we learned Thursday that Catherine was notified she passed the Texas bar and is now practicing attorney in Texas, in Dallas. Catherine, we are proud of you. Where are you? Would you stand? Right there you are. We celebrate with you. There's so many things to give God thanks for. But the one we rejoice in the most is Kaylee's decision. We rejoice with her and her decision to follow Jesus at a young age. Oh, that many of us had life to do over again, that we might make the decision to follow Jesus at an age that Kaylee has. And we want to remember her in prayer. Kaylee, would you come and stand by me for a moment? Kaylee, we are so excited about your decision. And I know the answer to this before I ask it, but Jesus promised us if we'll confess Him before men, He'll confess us before the Father in heaven. And so I want to ask you the most important question you'll ever be asked, and that is, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God?
Yes.
God bless you, and we're so grateful we get to share in this experience and witness your new birth. One of our shepherds will lead us in a word of prayer. I saw Dale right up. Dale, would you lead us in prayer as we celebrate Kaylee's coming and all this other good news as well?
Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice with you and your Son and your Spirit and the angels in heaven. As Kaylee has come this morning and says that she wants to be one of your children. Heavenly Father, help us to encourage her. Help us to help her to grow up in Christ. Help us to just help her to be part of this family. Heavenly Father, we're just so very, very thankful. And just give us the help that we need to give her.